We're walking the last week of Jesus' earthly life, leading up to his crucifixion and his resurrection. And I welcome you again today. My name is Pastor Jim Bradford, delighted to be with Dr. Wade Nunley. We've taken many Israel trips together. And today we are visiting Tuesday in Jesus' life of that last week. A number of things happen on Tuesday, but one of the really significant ones is a sermon that Jesus preaches. It takes up the majority of Matthew chapter 24, and he delivers it from the side of the Mount of Olives. So we call it the Mount Olivet Discourse. And it has to do with where our real hope lies. Sometimes we kind of hope for, you know, our kids to turn out, or maybe I'll get a job, or I'll get a promotion. From God's perspective, that's short-term hope. But that may come and go, but it's this long-term hope that Jesus will come again that is the hope that grounds us and fuels our lives as believers. And Jesus spends most of Matthew 24 in the Olivet Discourse talking about the end times and his personal return.
And like with other events in the Bible, context is important. Where a thing happens is important. It adds meaning and clearer understanding to the words that are said. For example, there's a reason why Abraham Lincoln gave his Gettysburg Address at Gettysburg. A momentous battle in the Civil War had been fought that turned the tide of the war, and no better place to give that address than where that turn of the tide of war had taken place. Well, when Jesus goes up on the Mount of Olives, it's important for us to walk in his steps and to go to the Mount of Olives and to sit down and look back at the place where from which he had just come, which is the city of Jerusalem. That's exactly what we're doing in our imagery. And we see the Temple Mount at the very back of the scene. And Jesus sits down and he calls his disciples and he has a very intentional conversation with him, much of which would leave us thinking, boy, the situation is absolutely dire. It could not get any worse. And yet there are some really interesting hints in that message that lead us to an amazing point of encouragement and hope for the future. So here we have Jesus has just cleansed the temple, and he has just given this pronouncement of judgment that's going to come, even more than the temple cleansing itself, which was a prophetic sign or symbol or act. But there's going to be a greater one that's coming, even as Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 7, this house will be like the house that I destroyed of mine at Shiloh. And so when Jesus sits down with his disciples and he's sitting on the Mount of Olives and he begins to talk about end time stuff, well, the song that's playing in the background in Jesus' mind, as well as his disciples and any other biblically literate Jew of the time, would have been Zechariah chapter 14. Now, Zechariah chapter 14 says this, I will gather against Jerusalem all of the nations to battle, and the city will be captured. The people will be ravaged and will go into exile, but the Lord will go forth and fight in that day, and his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. So there's your textual anchor that places Jesus, Mount of Olives, Zechariah chapter 14, and all of this in context. And so it's described in Zechariah 14 as the temple that's east of Jerusalem. It is the Mount of Olives, and it's going to be split in half. And there will be a great earthquake. Jesus mentions this in his signs of the end time. And then Yahweh my God will come, says Zechariah. Well, this is exactly what Jesus is trying to get across. In the midst of all these points of difficulty, I am going to return for my people. I'm going to intervene in the events of human history yet again. And Zechariah takes it another step up, and he says, after the earthquake, after this appearance of God on the scene, it says that there is going to be a time when there will be light in day and night. there will be this incredible illumination from the presence of God. And it also says that living waters are going to flow out of Jerusalem. Reminds us of Isaiah's, that the words of Torah are going to go out and cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. But living waters are going to flow out of Jerusalem. And it says at the end, when it's all said and done, and Yahweh will reign as king over all of the earth. Now, Zechariah is just a couple of generations after Ezekiel. So I think that Zechariah, like Jesus is playing off of Zechariah, Zechariah is playing off of Ezekiel. And so we see this obvious connection of this river flowing out of Jerusalem in the form of the Kidron Valley. That's exactly what Ezekiel says in chapter 47, that God brought him to the door of the house, meaning the temple. And water was flowing from under the threshold, and it was creating a river such that you couldn't even wade across it. And then, because of the preponderance of water, there were many trees that had grown up on both sides of this end time river. And it's bringing life to everything as it goes out through the Judean desert all the way to the Dead Sea, makes the waters of the Dead Sea, that are very saline at this point, 34%, makes them sweet and fresh. And that everything that the river touches will live. It's bringing this life-giving water, is bringing life to everything. And so it says that trees are going to be for the food, and the fruit of the tree will be for food, and that the leaves of the trees will be for the healing of the nations. Pastor, what a vision. What a vision of hope and life that we're getting from Jesus via Zechariah, via Ezekiel in these passages.
That's an incredible vision. The cleansing of the temple the day before, speaking of God's judgment, and yet there's a day Jesus is going to personally return, actually step on the Mount of Olives, where Jesus gives this sermon 2,000 years ago on Tuesday of his last week, and to ultimately connect those dots back to that river of life in Ezekiel is amazing.
What a set of footnotes.
It's amazing. It absolutely is. And I just think, you know, it's too easy to get just preoccupied with things that are temporary and not eternal, to live as if Jesus really isn't coming back again. But what a challenge to say, Lord, I want to even partake of your life right
Amen.
Now. And I want eternal things to be my priority right now, not just temporary things. I know we can just get overwhelmed in our busyness every day. But the Bible says when we really live like Jesus is coming again, we're going to keep our hearts pure. We're going to have a passion for taking the gospel to all the nations of the world. And even with the gift of Jesus' resurrection spirit in us right now, that Holy Spirit, that's kind of a prelude to what he will do in our whole world, that we can live with his presence. And so as we look at this Tuesday in Jesus' last week, may the Lord just give you a hope that's not centered on anything this side of Jesus coming, but is centered in the life that Jesus can give you and that Jesus will bring to our world someday. He is coming again. Let's live as if he's coming again. Let's reset our priorities as if he's coming again. And let's be full of his spirit till that day and waiting for when Jesus returns and that river of life flows. Thank God for that. Invite you to join us tomorrow as we look at Wednesday of the last week of Jesus' life. Dr. Wave, thank you. We often do Israel trips together. We're just kind of sitting in this studio doing like what we do in Israel.
Absolutely.
And I'm so grateful to have you with us. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.